Chapter 50. Ladies present, Mr. Giles, apostrophe murmured the tinker. Apostrophe of shoes, sir, apostrophe said Giles, turning upon him, and laying great emphasis on the word, seized the loaded pistol, that always goes upstairs with the plate basket, and walked on tiptoes to his room. Brittles, I says, when I had woke him, don't be frightened. Apostrophe, so you did, apostrophe observed Brittles, in a low voice. We're dead men, I think, Brittles, I says, apostrophe continued Giles, but don't be frightened. Apostrophe, was he frightened? Apostrophe asked the cook. Not a bit of it, apostrophe replied Mr. Giles. He was as firm, pretty near as firm as I was. Apostrophe, I should have died at once, I'm sure, if it had been me, apostrophe observed the housemaid. You're a woman, apostrophe retorted Brittles, plucking up a little. Brittles is right, apostrophe said Mr. Giles, nodding his head, approvingly. From a woman, nothing else was to be expected. We, being men, took a dark lantern that was standing on Brittles' hob, and groped our way downstairs in the pitch dark, as it might be so. Apostrophe, Mr. Giles had risen from his seat, and taken two steps with his eyes shut, to accompany his description with appropriate action, when he started violently, in common with the rest of the company, and hurried back to his chair. The cook and housemaid screamed. It was a knock, apostrophe said Mr. Giles, assuming perfect serenity. Open the door, somebody. Apostrophe, nobody moved. It seems a strange sort of a thing, a knock coming at such a time in the morning, apostrophe said Mr. Giles, surveying the pale faces which surrounded him, and looking very blank himself. But the door must be opened. Do you hear, somebody? Apostrophe, Mr. Giles, as he spoke, looked at Brittles, but that young man, being naturally modest, probably considered himself nobody, and so held that the inquiry could not have any application to him. At all events, he tendered no reply. Mr. Giles directed an appealing glance at the tinker, but he had suddenly fallen asleep. The women were out of the question. If Brittles would rather open the door, in the presence of witnesses, apostrophe said Mr. Giles, after a short silence, I am ready to make one. Apostrophe, so am I, apostrophe said the tinker, waking up, as suddenly as he had fallen asleep. Brittles capitulated on these terms, and the party being somewhat reassured by the discovery made on throwing open the shutters, that it was now broad day, took their way upstairs. With the dogs in front, the two women, who were afraid to stay below, brought up the rear. By the advice of Mr. Giles, they all talked very loud, to warn any evil-disposed person outside, that they were strong in numbers, and by a master stroke of policy, originating in the brain of the same ingenious gentleman, the dogs' tails were well pinched, in the hall, to make them bark savagely. These precautions having been taken, Mr. Giles held on fast by the tinker's arm to prevent his running away, as he pleasantly said, and gave the word of command to open the door. Brittles obeyed. The group, peeping timorously over each other's shoulders, beheld no more formidable object than poor little Oliver Twist, speechless and exhausted, who raised his heavy eyes, and mutely solicited their compassion. A boy! Apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Giles, valiantly, pushing the tinker into the background. What's the matter with the A? Why Brittles, look here, don't you know? Apostrophe, Brittles, who had got behind the door to open it, no sooner saw Oliver than he uttered a loud cry. Mr. Giles, seizing the boy by one leg and one arm, fortunately not the broken limb, lugged him straight into the hall, and deposited him at full length on the floor thereof. Here he is. Apostrophe bawled Giles, calling in a state of great excitement, up the staircase. Here's one of the thieves, ma'am. Here's a thief, miss. Wounded, miss. I shot him, miss. And Brittles held the light. apostrophe in a lantern, miss, apostrophe, cried Brittles, applying one hand to the side of his mouth, so that his voice might travel the better. The two women servants ran upstairs to carry the intelligence that Mr. Giles had captured a robber, and the tinker busied himself in endeavoring to restore Oliver, lest he should die before he could be hanged. In the midst of all this noise and commotion, there was heard a sweet female voice, which quelled it in an instant. Giles! ! Whispered the voice from the stairhead. I'm here, miss, ! Replied Mr. Giles. Don't be frightened, miss, I ain't much injured. He didn't make a very desperate resistance, miss. I was soon too many for him. ! Hush! ! Replied the young lady. You frighten my aunt as much as the thieves did. Is the poor creature much hurt? ! Wounded desperate, miss, replied Giles, with indescribable complacency. He looks as if he was a-going, miss, bawled Brittles, in the same manner as before. Wouldn't you like to come and look at him, miss, in case he should? ! Hush, pray, there's a good man. ! Rejoined the lady. Wait quietly only one instant, while I speak to Aunt. With a footstep as soft and gentle as the voice, the speaker tripped away. She soon returned, with the direction that the wounded person was to be carried, carefully, upstairs to Mr. Giles' room, and that Brittles was to saddle the pony and betake himself instantly to Chertsey. From which place, he was to dispatch, with all speed, a constable and doctor. But won't you take one look at him, first, miss? Asked Mr. Giles, with as much pride, as if Oliver were some bird of rare plumage, that he had skillfully brought down. Not one little peep, miss? Not now, for the world, replied the young lady. Poor fellow. Oh. Treat him kindly, Giles, for my sake. The old servant looked up at the speaker, as she turned away, with a glance as proud and admiring, as if she had been his own child. Then, bending over Oliver, he helped to carry him upstairs, with the care and solicitude of a woman. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.